central midfield. Oh no, Kanu walk across the summer to Jojo Kocha, and it's a goal!
What is this magic? I need that magic. I need that magic.
Welcome, my lovelies. Welcome to another Naked Football Show, the second of the season. And welcome, especially to Mr. Stephen Skeet, our second guest of the season. Are you all right, Steve?
Hello, Graham. How are you?
I'm all right. You do sound as if you're talking from the bottom of a canyon, but hey, we'll sort that out. How are things? How's everyone? I haven't seen you kicking the football around the cemetery lately.
Everyone's okay. You know, challenging time for us all, isn't it, in different ways. But, I think we have to be thankful for small mercies in these times. We've not been caught up in the absolute brunt of this stuff. So very thankful for that. Roof over our heads. Everyone's still healthy. Still got a job. So three big ticks, mate. Three big ticks.
Yeah, at the moment. Well done. Right, should we talk about what we're meant to be talking about then, the football? Have you seen any of the games yet?
Yeah, I've caught all the games. Didn't see the Arsenal game. But I've actually found it strangely soothing experience not having to go to the ground and get your hopes up and all that sort of stuff, and sitting back and having the option to turn off if it all goes wrong. So that found that sort of a strange but quite nice experience, actually. And luckily it's all gone right so far. So we'll end the league anyway. So yeah, I've caught the games. You know, league wise you can't really ask for any more, can you?
No, I mean, and it's actually looking quite good as well, isn't it? I mean, actually playing with some, you're playing some decent stuff, especially in midfield.
Yeah, it looks like we've struck on an identity. You know, we've always said there's been a bit of embarrassment of riches in the midfield, and we've not really worked out what the best combination is in there. It seems to have, very early days, of course, but it seems to have found best combination in the midfield that we've probably seen for quite some time. And that really is kind of allowing the whole team then to play and to operate, isn't it? Mm. You know, so the identity thing has been really key. And I guess, unlike this time last year, there was always a bit of a nagging thing in my mind that we were doing well, but we hadn't really dominated games. And we'd kind of squeaked our way through some games, you know, a bit of nous here or a bit of luck there.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, the games have looked pretty comfortable, really, you know, in terms of the way we are on the ball and we're trying to impose ourselves on the game. So that has a very different feel, actually, to this time last year, I would say.
Yeah, because although we were cruising this time last year, you know, right well into the first half or first third of the season, but it was never that convincing, was it? I didn't think.
No, and you know, I remember going to MK Don's. Oh, it must have been about November, where we won 1-0, John Nolan goal, and that kind of was a real typical performance. You know, could have been out of sight after half an hour, really dominating the game and what have you. And then second half just were almost non-existent and were sort of hanging on for the win towards the end, as it were. So, you know, there was a bit of a feel about all of those, sort of a lot of those games, really, you know, last year, sort of, and obviously you don't complain at the time because you're winning the games, don't you? But we're definitely imposing ourselves on the game more, seems to be much more possession-based. Got them all of the technicians in the team than we had last year, you know, and actually long may that continue.
Almost sport for choice, aren't we, if you think about it, when you've still got people like Hughes sitting on the bench and Downs, I mean, we don't know whether he's going to play or not, but that'll push out someone else. And yes, especially in midfield, it's just over the top, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, and it's interesting. The combination thing is interesting for me. You know, I mean, I've been a massive critic of John Nolan. I mean, I wouldn't have him near the squad last year. You know, and actually, I've always felt he's had real great technical ability, but his inability to sort of impose himself on a game over the last year used to wind me up something chronic. And And him in a sort of a combination with Skews and Downs in midfield, it was a little bit like death by a thousand cuts, really. You know,
death by a thousand sideways passes. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, everything. You know, everything was so peripheral. But Dizel and Bishop, they're kind of forcing him to play between the lines a lot more.
Mm.
They're forcing those passes into him. He looks a much more dynamic player, than we've seen him at all, really, in the Town shirt. You know, he's suddenly, you know, he played that great Paul Edwards, didn't he, for his one-on-one against Bristol Rovers. It was a great example, actually. You know, last year that would have just gone sideways to his left back.
Mm.
He definitely, you know, the team setup, but also the people he's playing with are almost, you can see them almost demanding him to play balls that he wouldn't have played last year.
Yep.
And to me, he looks a much better player for that.
Yeah, I think confidence has a lot to do with it as well. Because when you're not confident in a team, well, you've played at a reasonably high level, haven't you? If you're not confident, you just play the safe ball all the time, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's And is it? You know, that was a bit of a Mick thing as well, wasn't it? About, you know, don't let the ball get turned over.
Mm.
You know, don't get caught on it. Don't lose possession. You know, that's sort of a bit of a fear based game, really. But yeah, definitely. Definitely seeing much more personality starting to come through with those players in the middle. And I don't know if we get onto this, Graham, but actually I think it's quite an interesting... There's some interesting ways in not having no fans in the ground. There's some of the ways that is affecting the games and the way they're played.
Mm.
And, you know, the Wigan game, Dizel sort of shanked a pass and I was thinking, oh, God, the whole ground would have been groaning about that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's an element of that, but there's also an element that the ball's just in play so much more. So if you're a possession-based team, you know, that's really great, actually. There's not so much lumping it out into the stands and sort of vociferous tackles in that sense going in. And actually, if you're a possession-based team, I can't remember what the stat is, but the balls have been in play quite a lot more than they would have done normally.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's obviously to the benefit of a team like Town and the way that we're playing, you know.
Mm. Is this a Lambert thing, do you think? Or is this the team sort of picks that style of play by the very fact you've got that style of player?
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to say, you know, I'd love to say it was a Lambert thing. I mean, there's obviously been a bit of sort of, you know, they've obviously used the time. You know, we can't be too critical, I guess, in that sense. They've obviously used the time well, looked at what they've got. You know, reflected on last season, the chopping and the changing and all that sort of stuff. That, you know, there was an element of, you know, someone who was thinking they were coaching Dortmund, really, and fighting for four trophies rather than, you know, what we're, you know, reality is what we're in. So it's definitely seems like he's gone back to basic, or the club's gone back to basic on that. You know, I would imagine senior players and players would have been involved in that process as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably Stuart Taylor and Matt Gill would have probably been a part of that process, I'd imagine. But it kind of feels like last chance saloon for him as a manager, doesn't it, really? I mean,
yeah.
If it doesn't work out here, where does he go? So in some respects he's been gifted that time, hasn't he, from the 6 month gap. And at the moment, however it's happened, it looks like that's been used wisely.
Indeed, yeah. And had we had crowds back here and we'd lost the first couple of games, then all sorts of... He'd have been getting all dog's grief, wouldn't he? But
indeed.
But fortunately, it's worked out well for him on two counts, hasn't it? shall we look at tweets?
Yeah, let's go.
I do apologise about putting your... Because you have another Twitter handle, Twitter name now, don't you? I lost you. And then you didn't want the riffraff.
Unfortunately, you refound me, but yeah, no, that's all right. I'm happy to be back amongst the Town diaspora on Twitter. That's fine.
Diaspora. That's not what you called them earlier. right. First up, we must miss Mrs. Nuts' happy birthday. It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Nuts.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Nuts. And she went to York, the shambles, which we won't say any more about.
Brilliant.
Sorry, what were you going to say, Steve?
I just wondered. I was going to ask what Slower had done, but the shambles. So perhaps we could have a bit of a report on Twitter around how that visit's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. We I was just, because we bumped into Mrs. Well, we actually met Mrs. Nuts and Mr. Nuts during the break, and because we stayed up at Harrogate's where they live, so we had a few beers with them. And I didn't realise how well Harrogate Town are doing. They're just they're in the league below us. And so Mrs. Nuts has promised that anyone who wants to go out and stay can when we play them. There you go, Mrs. Nuts. Got a big house. Julian Hughes. There's two Julians. Hello, Julian. I haven't heard from you for ages. Hope you're well, mate. Good morning, GB and Stephen. Hope all is good with you, my friends. What a strange world we're living in. Question, will this season reach Christmas? And if it does, perhaps playing in front of empty stadiums could be just what we need. No pressure. This just might be our season. What are your thoughts on that, Stephen?
Hi, Jules. Thanks for the question. Sorry, I guess it's, as I was saying earlier, I really agree with that. I think the empty stadiums are helping us. You know, it's kind of perfect scenario in some respects. I think players can play with a lot more freedom, a lot more possession of the ball because the ball's in further. You know, younger players can take more risk without fear of kind of recrimination. So, you know, I think that does really suit us. I think if you're a team. The only adverse thing that I've seen so far is sometimes, you know, if you're a team and you're chasing the game last 10 minutes and you're trying to sort of build up a momentum across the whole stadium, then you find it's a real, you know, that's a real gap there and a real miss. That's been noticeable. But I guess if you're hopefully a team like this, which is kind of generally be ahead of the game, then that's also yet another sort of small advantage. And sorry, it might only be 5-10%, but I think we'll take anything, won't we? So
certainly will.
So I think no fans is actually probably a benefit as much as I'm dying to get back. I think the game will carry on without fans. A little bit like other sectors of society, schools and whatever. I think they're going to try and do everything they possibly can to keep going before there is another full lockdown or whatever. And if there is another one, then it'll be a shorter one than last time, almost like a winter break or something, you know, of that ilk, really. But I mean, whether clubs at our level and the level below are able to survive without supporters coming into the ground, you know, I very much doubt that. I was just going to say, I guess that's where the pressure will come ultimately, probably more than pressure around sort of testing and letting clubs, you know, players in and all that, you know, players move around the country and stuff. I think it's going to be more a case of pressure of the likes of Accrington and what have you as to whether they can even survive as a club without that kind of revenue.
I do wonder whether they might actually change their mind. I mean, this government changes its mind every week, doesn't it? But I mean, the science is pretty conclusive about outdoors and how the chances of catching it are far, far reduced. You know, there's something like only a 2% chance. And you think, especially if we're in our little bubbles of six or whatever, that we could have enough, a third of the crowd or even a half crowds in stadiums if they have another look at it. But I think the thing is, because it's rising so quickly again, they're just completely panicking, aren't they?
And without sort of getting too deep about it all, I guess, you know, sort of know very much from sort of work role that actually, you know, COVID is only the one of the things in town. They know there's Brexit coming. They know there's likely to be winter floods. You get your usual seasonal flu and all that kind of stuff. So I guess they've got to look at it in the round, haven't they? And anything that they can do to kind of alleviate any kind of pressure on the system, ultimately they'll be taking that, you know, that's kind of the approach they're going to take rather than, you know, what looks like an isolation, maybe not the wisest move.
Yeah. Very diplomatic there, Stephen. Ian, this is Ian. Hello, Ian. It's Ian from Lowestoft, that is. Looking for getting back to this form of normality. There you go, GB. I think you're normal. Happy birthday to Mrs. Nuts. Thank you, Ian. I don't think the first bit was right. Mark, this is Mark from ITFC Unrestricted, if you want to catch up with that pod. GB, can you give me detailed instructions into your perfect cup of tea? Yeah, I'm not sure whether you were on that really important discussion yesterday. It was more important than COVID by a long way, about making tea, milk first or milk second. And then people like Mark threw a spanner in the works, or should we say a bag in the tea, by saying that he uses bags and other people, and coffee bags, and others, older people like myself, more mature, used to make tea with a teapot. And now, do you put the milk in first or the milk in second, or does that depend on the type of the tea, as in bags or leaf? Wake up, Steve.
Teapot and milk second.
Milk second, no.
But if I'm having Darjeeling, then it would be preferably with leaf.
There you go, Mark. I'll leave you to work that one out. Mark is going to be furious now. Thanks, Mark. Matt Thomas, I'm Spartacus. He's at I Am Spartacus, if you want to catch him. Hi, chaps. After years of pain and a vacuum where achievement should have been, I just wanted to soothe you with the prior knowledge that we're going to win League One this season. Don't fight the thought. Just enjoy it whilst it's possible. We can cry later if I'm wrong. Thank you, Mark. Matt, I mean, thank you for that. That's fantastic. Actually, we just stopped the season now, can we? Now Matt's sorted it for us.
Yeah. Do you think so? I'm actually really quite buoyant. I think if we could get, if we get our strikers fit, and therefore, I know we've effectively really been playing without one in some respects. I mean, probably a little bit harsh on Drinan there, but he's not a goal scorer. He's done a lot of great winning work up there. I wouldn't decry any of that. But essentially, it's been a bit of a make do amend. I think if we could get, whether it's Norwood or Hawkins or whatever up there and fit, then I think we could potentially be really, really turbocharged. We've got to do a bit of tweaking at the back, of course, as well. But the structure looks so much better to me, actually. So I think we're only going at about 70%, to be honest. So I'm really positive.
Cool. Thanks for that, Matt. He's positive. That's two of you. Martin Lambert. Hello, Martin. He sees Twitter is at HDR Martin. And this actually goes in with what you're just timed this perfectly, Martin, with what you're just talking about defensively, especially. Adding a player like McGuinness, while a good player with bags of potential, doesn't it just complicate matters further in terms of four shirts and 200 defenders?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I think the defence is the new midfield in some respects. I just get a sense that that's the thing that he's not really, Lambert is not really 100% sold on what the right combination is there. And some of that's probably driven by people's fitness and stuff. I'm a bit worried that that signing might suggest that, Kane Vincent-Young or Wolfie is perhaps a bit worse than we think.
Or leaving, even.
Or leaving, yeah. So it feels like quite a cover bet, bit of a cover bet, really. Mm. But, I guess in some respects, I would rather we did that kind of thing earlier rather than fudging around before the window trying to find something. So we've obviously played against him last week. We liked the look at him. We thought he'd got something to offer and whatever, and that's fine. I guess the issue is more about whether it blocks a pathway for one of our own players, which is probably what Martin's saying there.
Mm.
And that's not ideal.
Yeah, it did come out of the blue a bit, but obviously we don't know exactly what's going on, do we?
I was a bit surprised about... I wasn't surprised about Dobber in the sense that we still have 400 midfielders. But
it was only 200 just now, but okay, yeah.
I did wonder whether you might see him play a bit more of a role across the season, given that it is a long season, and Judge and Sears are going to need breaks or whatever. We're not blessed in that particular area of the pitch in some respects, but Cambridge is probably a good move for him. I just hope that the future is still with us, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Shaky, at Shaky Stevens. Why did journalists report Flynn Downs had put in a transfer request when it was obvious he hadn't? I don't even know which way, whether he had or not. I don't think he put in a request, but he sounded keen on the idea, didn't he? Isn't that what we're led to believe?
Yeah, my sort of only thing about Downs really was I thought that played out in public a little bit too much. I'm not sure, he's someone who's spoken out a lot in the past around his mental health issues and done a lot of work with a local mine charity and that sort of thing. I'm not sure, sort of using the language of, you know, he needs to get his head sorted out or whatever and go away for a couple of days. Not sure that was the most supportive kind of move from the management, really. And I thought, you know, that may absolutely be true, but a lot of that could have been done behind closed doors, really. So, you know, you're always going to get the reporting on the approaches and the bids and stuff, aren't you? But yeah, you know, I'm not sure that helps him. And it almost sort of presented him as wanting away and, you know, not being able to get his head around the fact that he couldn't go or that, you know, valuation hadn't been met or whatever. Whereas sometimes I think it's better just to say nothing and say, you know, they're not, you know, he's picked up a knock in training. That's a new catch-all term, isn't it?
Yeah. That'll do. If you picked up a knock in training, we know something's going on.
Where are we?
Julian, another Julian. This is Julian Watkins. Hi, Julian. Hello all, well done for making it this far. Thought for the day, somewhere in the club kitchen there's a massive freezer full of Portman pies quickly approaching their use by date. Puts it all in perspective, really. What do you think they could be used for? Thank you, Julian. What do you think they could be used for?
Well, I dread to think how long they're actually going to stay there for. given it took about 10 months to make an announcement on season ticket compensation, and we're still yet to get last year's, unless you can make it to the ground. You know, I'm not holding a breath around how long it will take them to decide what the situation is this season either. So, I think something like the Portman pie is right down the pecking order. Particularly if they're going to keep the concourses closed if we do go back. So I've got a vision that, you know, start of next season, someone's going to have a right job cleaning out those fridges.
Oh, the problems of running a professional football club, cleaning out the fridges. There'll be jobs for people that have mostly lost them by the end of COVID and Brexit and everything. We're coming near the end, actually, Steve. Quickly, slower ball. Good evening, GB. Slower. Yep, slower. Good evening, GB. Good evening, Skeetsy. Love the show. Thank you, slower ball. So we've signed a player, albeit a youngster on loan, in celebration. I'll have a pint of stout. Pass me McGuinness. I'm going to have to put a noise in there, aren't I? Top of the league, yet to concede and showing... Oh, even that rhymed. Top of the league, yet to concede and showing an ability to score more than one goal in a game. Does the panel think that the performances from the likes of Nsiala, Dazelle, Nolan, for whom previous form can only be described as ordinary, provide the foundation for any success we might want to achieve this season? I believe that solid, consistent performances from everyone is more important than hoping that our so-called flair players will occasionally turn it on. I think he's talking about Bishop there. Might be a mundane opinion, but we'll only ever be as strong as our weakest link. Keep smiling and stay safe, everyone. God bless Brian Gale. Thank you, slower ball. Thoughts, Mr. Skeet, very quickly?
Well, slow. I've done Nolan to death, haven't I? I guess Dazelle fits in a similar category. Consistency is going to be the key for him. His whole career summed up in 30 seconds against Wigan, where they guided Wolfie on the wing and went clean through, and he sort of... Dazelle entered into a recovery run that Lord Byron would have been proud of. That's horrendous. And then directly after, hit a blind 60-yard ball on the spin to Ward, which no one else outside the Prem probably would have even seen the pass, let alone try it. So, you know, I guess it's, if we can get the consistency of him doing more of the latter and less of the former, that'll be the kick, really. I mean, as for Nsiala, I mean, you know, I've given up, you know, I haven't seen what he's done so far. I did not see coming in any context.
No, I don't think any of us did. We thought that was the last we saw of him when he went to Bolton.
You know, and I do know a bit about him off the pitch. I know he's an absolutely lovely guy. If anyone could turn it around and make a career and really do it, I'd absolutely love him for him to do it. I mean, it's very early days still. I think he's still slightly brittle around his confidence and self-assurance and stuff, but... You know, if he ended up being a great signing for us, that would be a lovely thing to see, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. We come to the end of the show, Steve. So, quick prediction for Saturday.
Saturday, I'm going for 4-0.
Are you serious? You are, aren't you?
100%. You heard it here first.
Okay, everyone. Go and throw a tenner on 4-0, all of you. That's an order. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Steve. Until next week, have a great one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Graham. Bye.